Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Amazon Prime Video UK, who are just 2 days away now from their inaugural US Open broadcast. Prime Video is the home of the US Open in the UK. A reminder, if you haven't received the message yet, that if you want to watch the US Open in the UK, then you have to do so on Amazon Prime, which, although I'm biased, I think is a wonderful way to do so. And you can do that from 3:30 p.m. on Monday, when I will probably be feeling a little bit nervous as we go on air for the first time. I'm Catherine Whittaker, by the way. I'm joined by David Law.
Hello.
Who is fresh off a plane. I've been in New York for a couple of days now. I'm feeling practically like a local. David has that slightly glazed, jet lagged, oh my goodness me, I've still got another 5 hours before I can go to sleep look in his eye,
and
obviously I'm very familiar with.
I rather went a scenic route about getting here over the last 24 hours.
Tell us how many planes you've taken,
I've been
David.
In Croatia, Sweden, Denmark, and now New York in the last 24 hours.
I've heard Copenhagen's very nice.
It was delightful for the 55 minutes that I spent there in the airport terminal, but I particularly enjoyed Stockholm for the 2 hours I was there.
That's no way to visit Stockholm. That's an insult to Stockholm, if anything.
Okay, I'll make a proper journey
but
one day.
Anyway, you are in New York for the foreseeable future for 16 days?
Yeah.
16 days?
16 days, and it's my 16th US Open. What other 16s do we know?
It's my fourth. Do we count fan visits? Because I came twice as a fan with my dad.
Right, we're up to six then for you.
Six. Okay, we'll count those, will we?
Fine.
Anyway, you find us in, I mean, talk about in the heart of things. We are on Fifth Avenue. We are in a hotel lobby on Fifth Avenue. We're enjoying life, aren't we, David?
Yeah.
We're checking our privilege.
This is a job, is it?
And by the way, there's tennis happening.
Yes.
I haven't mentioned tennis yet. Tennis will be happening. Well, tennis has been happening. Qualifiers have been happening. Practice has been happening. Kids' Day has been happening today. I'm going to go on my usual Kids' Day rant about how wonderful and positive a thing it is. Once again, today, I've spent the whole day seeing kids with faces of gleaming joy walking away from tennis courts thinking tennis is the best thing in the world.
Well done, US Open.
Well done, US Open. Well done, all three slams that have a Kids' Day, and listen up, Wimbledon, because it's an open goal for tennis. It's a wonderful thing.
Come on, Wimbledon.
I mean, I wasn't even inside the Arthur Ashe Stadium for Kids' Day because obviously fundamentally I find kids quite annoying. But
you've never told me that before.
I mean,
before.
En masse.
You're nice to my kids.
20, yours are very cute.
They'll be gutted.
Kids I know, I'm not into kids I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Anonymous kids en masse.
There is a massive hole that you have just sort of sunk into that I can see there.
Hang on. I mean, as a parent, David, would you enjoy 20,000 children en masse?
Well, yeah, because I'd just join in, you know. I could happily join in Kidstack.
I mean, David...
It's also been Media Day yesterday, wasn't
Media
it?
Media Day yesterday. It spilled over into today a little bit.
So what was we that like? Because it was all different,
Brits.
Wasn't it? Because normally there's a big interview room that we all congregate in, and there's a player garden that we've spoken to you all before from, and all the TV interviews happen there.
We won't be speaking to you from it this year because Media are banned from it, David.
Oh, why is that?
I don't know.
Is that something
I don't
you've
know
done?
If somebody, you know, disgraced us.
Oh,
and,
dear.
Right, media no longer
so
allowed.
So, Media Day happened inside the brand new stadium, didn't
the
it?
The new Louis Armstrong Arena, yeah. And it was pitched as being Super Bowl style, in inverted
right.
commas, which to a group full of media who, almost to a man and woman, had never attended a Super Bowl Media Day, was not a particularly clear message.
Lots of Brits were complaining.
We were all Googling Super Bowl Media Day to figure out what on earth we were in for. And look, I don't want to... I'm wary of being overly negative about the experience because it is a very difficult thing to get right, Media Day. It's a very difficult thing to please all parties. Greg Brzezinski has just stepped alongside us.
Hello, Greg.
Hi, how are you?
How you doing? I'm all right.
Good. I'm trying to find iCloud accounts. Very exciting.
Yeah, because Greg Brzezinski has just made an impromptu visit past the Amazon Prime Video team.
That's the exciting life that Greg leads.
Yes, sorting out kids' stuff. You know, that's the way life goes.
Well, yeah, we've just been talking about kids, Greg.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. About 20,000 screaming kids en masse, which is what was happening.
Do you like Kids Day, Greg?
I love Kids Day. I think it's absolutely fabulous. And the other thing which I liked is I was lucky to be on Louis Armstrong court, and they're all waiting for a certain Roger Federer come on, but he didn't come up, but they still stayed and watched Ostapenko practice. And
they were waiting
just,
for you, Greg.
Well, I think maybe their parents might have been. Maybe not the youngsters that came today, but I think it's fantastic to see so many kids come onto the courts, onto the site, get to come in for free, and I think it promotes the game well.
Who's going to win the US Open, Greg, men and women?
Djokovic, women, I don't know. You'll find out on Monday on Amazon, on Prime Video UK at Amazon.
He's well-trained, isn't he?
Early prediction for Novak Djokovic for the title from Greg Rozetsky.
It's hard to go against it, isn't it?
Wow. It's pretty cool, huh?
That fence-sitting has been noted, Greg, by the way.
Come on, he just went straight in with Djokovic.
No, but the women's.
You tell me the women's.
He's saving it up.
I need to look at the draw. Halep, there you go, Halep. Done.
Halep.
Yeah.
Burton's has put indecision in Greg's mind. Well, I'm going to go for Kvitova.
What?
Again.
After she...
let me down
she
so
laughed
awfully.
In our faces at Wimbledon.
Yes. Well, I believe. I'm a Kvitova believer.
I see some logic in what you've done there because there's a part of me that thinks Muguruza is going to win this because she's
done...
Yeah, but when she won Wimbledon last year, her previous match, she had lost love and won to Barbora Strizova in Eastbourne.
Yeah.
She does what you don't expect. And everyone knows she's good enough to win the US Open, but no one's expecting her to because she's shown no form.
Mm.
And yet that seems to be when she surprises us all and does her
stuff. It's true.
And same with Kvitova, really.
Yes.
She's shown slightly more form than Muguruza, but, you know, still nothing to speak of. Nothing compared to pre-Wimbledon when everyone was bigging her up.
When the man at the immigration today heard that I was here for the BBC and I was about to cover the US Open...
Oh, you dropped the BBC bomb, did you?
Yeah. I was there to cover the US Open. He goes, oh, right, who's going to win? And I thought, crikey,
you know
mate.
What they're doing there, don't you? They're trained to lull you into chatty conversation to
are
see
they?
Yeah to because that's when you if somebody's sort of sweating or nervous and unable to engage in small talk that
well
means
I was
that
definitely that because
shifty.
I hadn't really thought it through. And I think,
oh right, have you been blacklisted?
Who did I said Nadal. I said Nadal, and I said actually said Sloane Stephens. But then I was walking away afterwards, and I was thinking, who actually defends US Open crowns? Apart from Pat Rafter, who beat Greg Rozetsky, who's still trying to work out the computer to our right.
Who was the last woman to defend a Grand Slam title? I'm sure it was Serena, but I just can't think when it was.
Was it Kim Clijsters? Didn't she win it 2 years in a row?
No, any Grand Slam. Who's the last woman to defend a slam?
Oh, crikey. Great. Put us on the spot.
I'm putting myself
know.
On the spot as well. It must have been Serena.
Serena Williams. Great.
About 8 or 9 different winners.
Greg's now got someone to help him with the computer, so he can engage in our conversation again. Oh, well. That's all right, Greg.
So long as the brain's working Monday, Greg.
Yeah. Greg's off again. Right.
Greg is, Greg is disappointed that the business centre of this hotel is next door to the area we've chosen to record the podcast.
That'll teach him.
Yeah, hang on. We will double check this stat, or rather, I think Grad Matt will double check this stat.
Yes. I know.
It must be Serena.
Yes, it probably is. So there we are. At Tennis
Sorry.
Podcast, if you can tell us.
Look,
I've got jet lag. I've got excuses. Catherine Whittaker, on the other hand, has none at all.
We're sure it was Serena. We just
but anyway,
don't know when.
I did walk away from that very impromptu quickfire prediction thinking, I think Sloane Stephens is almost in many ways the best player in the world right now. I mean, the way she can just do anything. She can do anything. She is my favourite player
to watch.
She's
either going to win it or lose the first round.
And I didn't see all of that. I don't think I saw very much at all because I was sunning myself in Croatia of that match she played against Halep the other week.
He is tanned. Update, he is tanned.
Yeah. It's just, well, you, not really.
Relatively. It's all relative, yeah.
But at the same time, the way she checks in and out, we've talked about that before, but it's the bigger point is coming back and doing it again. It is so rare. 2009 and 2010, Kim Clijsters won the US Open back-to-back years.
Is that the last time here or the last time at any slam?
Here, the year after it was Sam Stosur. I don't know whether Serena won it in...
That was certainly the right last time here, I think.
Yeah, I think it must be. So, there you go. So this media day.
Yeah. Greg's ruined our whole podcast.
How did we
agenda.
Get here? So first of all, what do you think of the new stadium?
From the inside, I love the stadium. It's great. It definitely, they've followed the architectural pattern of Arthur Ashe in that it has a sort of indoor but outdoor, like it has a sort of gap around the top. I'm describing that very poorly. But, it from the inside, lovely. From the outside, it's not an architectural beauty. but that's fine. You know, the US Open isn't about, you know, tradition and beautiful architectural lines in the way that Wimbledon is. It's about modernity and innovation and things being a bit brash, and the stadium does look a bit brash from the outside, but that's very fitting in many ways. So I think the atmosphere inside, it's going to be very good.
I heard that they don't need air conditioning in this particular stadium because they've got these sort of open doors that allow proper ventilation.
I mean, I struggle to believe that anywhere in New York doesn't require air conditioning in August. But I'll believe them until proven wrong.
Yes, all right, fine.
But yeah, it was really good. It was, to go back to what I was saying about Media Day, I'm loath to just jump in on the harsh criticism, which they have been getting, particularly from members of the print media.
And particularly from the British. Well, yeah. Actually, not just
well,
the
no,
Brits. There were others as well.
I think they just happened. Yeah. There were a lot of Brits there because
I wonder what the American media thought of it that were here, if there were any.
There weren't many happy faces.
Right,
there
really?
Weren't many happy faces. Yeah, and look,
why
journalists
is that?
Do like to complain.
What's the problem?
it was certainly so. The press conference portion of it was just. I mean, why wouldn't you hold a press conference in a purpose-built press conference room if got one?
They wanted to launch this court, I think, with this sort of big thing. And I think the idea was to have Roger Federer sitting up on a platform.
Yeah,
tried to have a crowd in.
But there wasn't a crowd.
They were supposed to be letting them listen to it on headphones.
Yeah, but there were about 20 people. I mean, that's a slight exaggeration. 100 people, maybe,
it
in this
really
cavernous
work.
Court. And the acoustics didn't really work for the audio going over. The acoustics didn't work for anyone. It didn't work for the crowd. It didn't work for the journalists. It certainly didn't work for us as TV broadcasters who didn't want the sound of a press conference in the background of our TV interview. And it just... I see where they were coming from. I really do. I'm not just trying to be boringly political and even-handed about it. I respect their efforts to try and do something a bit different and, you know, make it really New York. I see why, having looked at the YouTube videos, I see why they've gone, yeah, that's great. But it didn't work.
Yeah,
it did not work, and they either, if they try it again next year, they need to make sweeping changes. Annabelle Croft has arrived.
Who'd have thought? Anybody had thought we'd just arranged all this?
Have a kiss.
Mwah. And you saw Annabelle this morning.
Here's Annabelle just greeting me as well. Delighted to see you, Annabelle.
Who's going to win the US Open, Annabelle? Men's and women's.
We've been discussing that. I am actually going for Novak Djokovic.
Same as Greg.
It's hard not to go with him. I was picking Nadal up until I saw Novak sort of take apart Roger Federer the other day. So
Roger Federer wasn't very good, though.
Well, he was nervous, actually. He was very, very nervous playing him. I've just noticed how beautiful your makeup looks.
I've got false eyelashes on.
Oh, Catherine. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, really stunning. No, I'm sorry to interrupt there, but I just noticed
this
really
show.
Stunning.
We're going to invite Annabelle back, aren't we?
It's awesome, isn't it?
We've been trying to get Annabelle on the podcast for six years.
I know. I've been on with David.
She's been
on. There.
She was complimenting me when I was on.
I've been trying to get her on for 6 years.
So going back to who's going to win, and the women's is really, really difficult to predict. But I was.
Greg sat on the fence.
Did he? Well, something excites me about Sabalenka.
Me too.
Really, who has just won in Connecticut.
I know, she's just won. She
could be knackered, though.
Well, she could be. And also, because now people are starting to talk about her, there's going to be a little bit more pressure on her. But I'm not sure
she understands pressure.
I don't think she does. She just sees the ball and just hits it. And she plays with such freedom. And she's just got a great physique. She's got an exciting game. Something is really, really exciting about
Sabalenka
her.
Could play Kvitova in round three.
Ooh. And can I just tell you that David moments ago has predicted that Kvitova would win the US Open.
Really?
Annabelle looks confused.
She's going to go with Kvitova, I don't think.
Annabelle's not looking at me like she looked at you when she told you how nice your makeup was.
I've gone for Halep.
Yeah, well,
I was going
with Halep, but then I think she was quite moody last week, and I'm a little bit concerned about the mood swings again.
I think she was just tired, though.
A bit tired and crotchety, and just, I think the biggest problem with her is that negativity kind of, like, really brings her down, and she won't have the ability to bring Darren Cahill onto court, which she has been lately.
Do you think she's over-reliant on that?
Well, not necessarily, because I think when she won at the French, you know, she... you know, she didn't have to bring him on, but she did have to fight for it. And I think that's what she was so proud of, that she actually did fight through some difficult moments. But I think she's the obvious one to pick. But I don't know. There's been a little bit of negativity there. And I've sat courtside at the US Open watching her go through some pretty big meltdowns, actually. And anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how she copes coming back here. Obviously, didn't have a great Wimbledon, but coming back to the US Open. And, you know, she says she wants to play with freedom. And the fact that she's, you know, she's been number one, she's won a slam, she can get the shackles off. And let's see if she can play her best tennis. Anyway, I interrupted both of you because I was walking past to go and put my party dress on.
Go on.
Before I was.
Hopefully we'll still be on air when Annabelle re-emerges in said party dress.
Looks amazing, David.
I really don't know too much about these things, but
no, it really does.
I'll
tune in Monday, 3:30 p.m. to see the work of lovely Betsy, who's our makeup artist.
Can I have Betsy, please? I think I need a bit of Betsy work.
Yeah, Annabelle Croft, part of the team.
Part of the team, fundamental part of the team.
Well, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
It's going to be awesome.
I need Betsy.
Go and put your glad rags on, Annabelle. We'll see you in a bit. It's like stars in their eyes, isn't it?
Can you introduce?
We've sent her off through the doors.
Can you introduce me to Betsy?
I tell you what, jet lag David Law needs a bit of Betsy.
Right.
Okay. How far away are we from our agenda, David?
Poor old student Matt. He painstaking research to come up with what we're going to talk about. And it's all been thrown in the trash.
I love the Sabalenka prediction.
Yeah.
I think she's too much of a live wire for me to actually put my prediction on her. She absolutely could.
Now that Annabelle's gone, I can say this. That is total recency bias.
No, whereas Kvitova is the opposite of recency bias, based absolutely on nothing that's happened recently.
The fact is, Sabalenka, watching that woman play tennis is slightly frightening. Everybody I know keeps talking about how they want to see her play against Yelena Ostapenko because of just what it would be like.
Well, it could be horrible, couldn't it?
Sabalenka Collins' first round is going to be a very noisy affair.
I like Danielle Collins.
Well, I do too, but she is another one. She will just get in somebody's face. Yeah. And Sabalenka, she does not care about anybody's reputation in the slightest.
Can you imagine how much Serena would hate playing her, or Sharapova? You know, somebody that just that doesn't take any prisoners on the court, or doesn't, you know, doesn't feel the impact of locker room aura.
Somebody was telling me the other day, or I think I read on Twitter, that she hit Madison Keys off a tennis court.
She did. Well, I was just going to say, I mean, she made Madison Keys look underpowered.
Wow.
Which, yeah, it's frightening. I mean, obviously it has the potential to go horribly wrong, but if she's in a groove, and I believe that the conditions in Connecticut, are very, very similar to here. So if she's got in a groove in the conditions and on the court, and, you know, with those firepower players that have to redline it to win, it's all about timing, isn't it? If your timing's a fraction off, then it's horrible. But if she's found that groove on her timing, then goodness me.
Yeah, it could be fascinating. What did you make of people that you spoke to who had anything interesting to say? Because, I mean, you spoke to everybody. You spoke to Andy Murray, you spoke to Roger Federer. Andy Murray, what sort of state of mind did you find him in? Do you think this time, I mean, it's exactly a year ago when I stepped off a plane into a taxi and got out of my taxi to get a text from you saying, Andy Murray's pulled out of the US Open. And I did think, shall I just go back? but what did you think of his state of mind this time?
Really relaxed. Nothing different from what I've come to expect from Andy Murray, which is very, very forthcoming and interview, nothing defensive about him at all. You know, in his position where sort of everybody is wanting him to do something that he perhaps doesn't feel ready for, you know, the come all the way back, as Mary Carrillo would put it. You could forgive him for being sort of a little defensive and wanting to limit expectations, and he's not defensive at all. He's relaxed and forthright, and I asked him whether he's finding it difficult to achieve that readjustment of expectations in himself. For years, he was grieved to be disappointed with anything less than winning a slam. And now he's, you know, as much as logic is telling his brain, I need to be happy with a lot less than that, how can you actually reprogram yourself to in that way?
Well, that's definitely.
And he said that has been really tough.
That definitely has come through in the matches he's played. That you might as well ignore all that stuff that he's said in terms of its face value, because once he gets out on the court, he's a competitive beast.
What I would say is, I get the feeling that he's not there yet. I mean, I think if he could get through to that third round meeting with Del Potro, I think we can all feel quite pleased with that. If he gets that big moment, you know, of getting, I mean, look, he's going to get big stages, whatever, because he's a past champion. He's starting on Monday. His second match on Louis Armstrong court for that first match, which incidentally will be very well placed time zone wise for UK audiences. That should be on about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the evening, which is
James Duckworth
is it's a decent draw. So if you can just win through a couple of rounds and get to that projected Del Potro meeting round three, I think we should all feel very happy with that.
Lopez or Vedaska in the second round?
I think he'll win through the first one. I think he'll put us through it. I don't think it's going to. I think it'll be four or five sets first round. I think
he would beat Lopez. I think Vedaska would be too much.
Agreed.
For him.
I feel the same.
He'd grind him down.
But just to finish off my point, I think the difference between now and the last time I properly chatted to him before Queens is, I think he knows now that he has it in him to come back to somewhere close to where he wants to be. There's obviously still an unknown to a degree, but he feels more confident that it's possible now. If not probable or definite or anything like that, he feels confident that it's possible. And I think in Queens, he didn't know that it was necessarily possible that he'd ever win matches again, really,
yes.
looking back.
Yeah.
So I think it's the possibility, and it's hope, isn't it? Mm. And it can be the hope that kills, as you know, that's the saying.
At least there is hope now, though.
Exactly.
Because for a while, I mean, he must have wondered whether he was going to play the US Open again. I mean, let's get this straight. He has not played in any of the last, what is it, five Grand Slams?
Yeah, it's been
now?
Over a year. Wimbledon last year, yeah. When he was basically doing it with one hip.
So if he gets out on the court and plays competitively, and particularly if he beats James Duckworth, and I think he will as well.
I think we're going to see him beat James Duckworth in an emotional roller coaster of a match that is going to leave us all in tears. I really do.
Great stuff.
Yeah, and in some ways, as you know, it's not as great a joy as a Brit as watching Andy Murray win Grand Slams, but you know. There is something a bit pedestrian in those opening rounds about having a Grand Slam champion, a world number one. You just come to take it all for granted, those early victories. You don't necessarily tune in because you think Murray against Duckworth, that'll be over in an hour and a half, whereas I think Murray against Duckworth is going to be an amazing watch.
Well, it is just nice to have the bloke back in a draw, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we've seen it with Stan Wawrinka, we've seen it with Djokovic, the way they've managed to build their way back up. Obviously, Djokovic right to the very top. But Wawrinka is starting to look like Stan Wawrinka.
Yeah, Dimitrov first round. I think he's winning that, and I think he's going on a little run.
What's that draw?
He's got Grigor Dimitrov round one. Have you not seen it?
Again?
They're opening Arthur Ashe Stadium. Yeah. How long have you been on a plane?
Is that
David?
Some sort of a joke?
No.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Midday.
I need to read my student map agenda a bit more closely.
On Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Which is one... No, hang on. I'm trying to do some maths. Which is 5 p.m. UK time.
Yes.
Arthur Ashe Stadium will have Dimitrov.
Wow.
Against Wawrinka.
Now,
I don't know exactly which channel that'll be on Prime Video, but it will be on. We might be showing Kyle Edmund, his match against Jordan Thompson.
Because there's
on at the same
of
time.
Brits going on.
Yeah, we've got four Brits playing on Monday, plus Wawrinka Dimitrov, plus Venus Williams against Svetlana Kuznetsova, plus Serena Williams, plus Nadal versus Ferrer.
Crikey.
Yeah.
Busy.
Yeah, so...
It's going to be awesome. What a Monday.
I mean, I'm speechless, really.
Who's going to win, Wawrinka or Dimitrov?
Wawrinka.
I'm going...
Wawrinka. Dimitrov's in no kind of form at all.
He did win two really close matches, didn't he, in Cincinnati? And then he lost heavily to Kevin Anderson, wasn't it?
Wawrinka, he's going to get the crowd behind him.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's going to be an occasion. Wawrinka rises better to an occasion.
Yes, yes. He will win, I agree. So that's happening.
Can you attempt to get us back to somewhere close to the agenda, David?
Yeah, I forget the agenda. Anybody else of great note impress you, disappoint you, who you
Federer
spoke to?
Federer said that US Open has always been the target for him this year. It's been 10 years since he won a US Open, David.
Is it?
He won five of them in a row, and the last one was 2008. And he said last year Wimbledon was the target. This year, US Open
is the
target.
Wow, that's interesting. When he played Murray, of course, in Murray's first Grand Slam final, the grapple in the apple year.
Which perhaps explains, you know, what Annabelle was saying about the... Not that, you know, we're silly enough to think that Federer doesn't experience nerves, probably on quite a regular basis, but what Annabelle was saying about the obvious nerves he seemed to be experiencing in that Cincinnati final, you know, week before a slam... A final against, you know, one of your two biggest rivals for that title is a massive, massive deal. That, you know, all of that was probably going through his head. And as it goes, the draw has thrown up the possibility of a Federer-Djokovic match in the quarter-finals.
He's got a horrible draw.
Kyrgios round three, although I question potentially whether Kyrgios's body will get him there.
Nadal's got a great draw.
Great draw.
Ferrer in the first round, Pospisil round two, Khachanov round three, Edmund round four. And look, obviously these may not happen.
I think it would be a quarter with Kevin Anderson, which...
Yeah, Anderson team or Shapovalov perhaps in the quarters. But, you know, I can't see any of those players stopping...
Agreed.
Nadal, I really can't.
I think it's looking like Zverev in the quarterfinals. Although, obviously, predicting Zverev into the quarterfinals.
No, Del Potro.
Oh, sorry. Zverev's
in
that half
quarter.
Somewhere.
No,
Zverev was an interesting
in
one that I spoke
half.
To, because obviously he's now working with Lendl. I'm sure that was on the agenda somewhere,
David. It is. Just a minute, though, just to say, Zverev is in the third quarter, actually.
Oh,
So, not to worry. Zverev against Cilic is a possible quarterfinal, and and it is...
Cilic has got a good draw, I think.
Nadal against Del Potro is a...
He's had Del Potro's
potential
number,
semi-final.
Zverev was an interesting one that I spoke to yesterday. Very forthcoming about the teaming up with Lendl. I asked him about, you know, the similarities in his position now to Murray's position when he brought Lendl on board, and there was a humbleness to his answer, which we've not, that's not a word we necessarily have associated with Zverev. He said, I see what you're saying, but I'm a world away from where Murray was when he brought Lendl on board. He said, you know, Murray had reached, what was it, 4 Grand Slam finals at that stage, and Zverev's nowhere near to
and
that.
And yet, I still feel the challenge is so similar.
Yeah, absolutely. But he could have said that, and he didn't. He took the humble path, which I found interesting, because he, over the last couple of years, hasn't necessarily taken the humble path. And he was very... amenable, you know, and friendly. And I asked him about whether he had any surprises for us on the outfit front, given what he wore here last year. And there was a little, I could be projecting here, but there was a little look in his eye. He said, no, I like my outfit this year. It's great, but it's nothing jazzy.
That was
and there was, I don't know, there was a little look in his eye that said, I know last that was a bit of a mistake
that
last
didn't
year.
Do him any favours.
It didn't. It
last
didn't.
Year. That added attention. That's sort of, you know, I've arrived before I've arrived outfit, really.
And to, you know, Adidas to a certain extent are responsible for that as well.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame Zverev really for it in that regard, and I kind of get where they're coming from, but it's we're so and I'm guilty of this, we're so quick, we so want to anoint these people as the star of today when they've not necessarily done it anything yet, and he's building, but I also think you will see more humility from him in the company or in the association with Lendl than you will have done before, because frankly, who are you, mate?
Yeah,
what
and
have you
certainly
ever done?
In the company of Lendl.
Even Lendl has done it all.
Yeah.
So, you know, just zip it and listen, because that's what Andy Murray did, and look what it did for him. And that's what you will see. I've really had my doubts about Zverev at times over the last couple of years, and even recently, but this disappointment will be the difference maker.
Yeah, it's almost felt inevitable for a long time, hasn't it? And I got the sense from him it felt inevitable as well. He was like, we've had a relationship for a long time, we've had the odd hitting session, and it was just a question of when he was going to pull the trigger and actually do it. And I'm sure there'll be, you know, financials involved in all of that as well. I'm sure Lendl don't come cheap. But
lots of people are talking about this. This has been the Twitter talking point. Vicky Spreadbury at Tennis Podcast said Zverev's attitude is still an issue, still acts entitled to success. Well, maybe Catherine has just put your mind at rest a little bit there, Vicky. Dima says good move. Lendl seems to know how to rein in talent and temperament to good effect, which is just what he needs. And Rich says a better mental state and a net game would be pretty much complete the puzzle. I'm not sure
Lendl's big on the
that.
Net game.
To me, it's the big match temperament is what he will bring. And he'll help him navigate those early rounds, because he gets himself embroiled too often, which is what he got Murray out of doing. He got Murray to just dominate people. Zverev just faffs about with people for too long. He doesn't impose himself
Cut
enough.
The faffing.
Pole vault, according to Matt, who has run this pole vault without any... pushing from me, except I did suggest it, will Zverev become a Grand Slam champion by the end of 2019 now that Lendl is on his team?
That's 5 slams away.
Well, what do you think?
Yes.
By the end of 2019?
Yes.
Okay, well, 43% say yes, 47% say no, and 10% say he would have done it anyway without Lendl.
But, I mean... Yeah, we'll never know.
You're delighted to have me back, aren't
you?
Charlie Eccleshare is available, I'm sure, for tomorrow.
Yeah, get him on a plane.
Charlie, by the way, great job, mate. Thanks for letting me have 2 weeks off.
Right then, what wasn't it? You're the one with the agenda in front of you.
Yeah, we were talking about Federer's horrendous draw. Listen to this. This is what it could be. Nishioka, first round. Benoit Paire, second round. Nick Kyrgios, third round. Eight of their nine sets have gone to tie breaks. Fabio Fognini, round four. Novak Djokovic, quarterfinals. Now, obviously, we know that that draw could fall apart.
He brought up his horrendous draw when I spoke to him. I didn't ask him about the draw, and he said, obviously, I've got, you know, weaved into one of his sort of 90-second long answers. He meant through, you know, and it was funny, a lot of the press conferences, they weren't really press conferences, they were sort of, it felt like, you know, those clips you see of the New York Stock Exchange back in the 80s when people were saying, bada, 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 you know, it felt like that. It felt like a sort of meat market for tennis media. It was interesting that a lot of the players were being asked the pre-question prior to the draw question, have you looked at your draw? And a lot of them were saying, no, only the first round, so don't ask me beyond that. And I'm always reluctant to ask about a draw because I think it's completely up to the player whether they want to look at their draw, and I don't want to be the one that sets their whole universe
out of kilter. Oh, you see, now you got in the fourth round.
Yeah, exactly. So, but he brought it up, so he's looked at it. He's aware of how horrible it is. I didn't get the impression he was especially troubled by that.
Do you know the only one of those, having listed them all, the only one I actually think could beat him of all that lot before Djokovic is Kyrgios.
Agreed. Of course he can. I don't think his body will allow him to. Kyrgios can beat anyone. That's not news.
But maybe only over the best of three as well. That's the other thing.
You don't think Kyrgios is capable, body allowing, to beat anybody over best of five?
Yes, some people, but Roger Federer, no.
Right, well, the question was anybody. What do you mean not at the moment? You mean not at the moment because
of course he can beat anybody because he's beaten loads of people over best of
five
before.
We're in agreement then.
Right.
He's not going to, though. I think we're going to see Federer Djokovic quarterfinal.
When I say anybody, I mean somebody.
Right. He's jet-lagged, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. So, what else have I got to tell you about? Novak Djokovic's draw, very quickly.
Yeah, it's he's getting to that quarterfinal.
Yeah, he should be all right, I would have thought. I'm just going to tell you who he's got. Fukcevic, Troicki or Sandgren, second round. Gasquet or Meyer, round three. I mean, this is a nice draw,
Meyer,
isn't it?
I think.
Meyer. Meyer.
No, it's Leo isn't it?
Leo Meyer, yeah.
It's Leo Meyer, Florian
Meyer.
It's Leo Meyer.
No, you got it the wrong way around. Yeah. It's definitely Florian Meyer. And Leonardo Meyer.
Yeah, now you've said Florian Meyer, that does sound right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
Whoops.
Round four, Luca Puy, Karina Busta. I mean, this is the draw from heaven. Yeah. And then Roger Federer turns up in the quarterfinals. But again, all of this draw could just fall apart.
It kind of did last year, didn't it? Yeah, to an extent.
I mean, it does most of the time. So why do we even bother doing this? It's all to come. It's all fantastic.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. In the women's draw, Simona Halep is the top seed, and she could play the winner of Serena and Venus in the fourth round.
Wow. Yeah, so Serena and Venus are projected to meet in the third round, and I can't be more specific about this prediction, but I just have a feeling that's not going to happen. One of them isn't getting there.
Yeah, well, Serena has got Magda Linette first round, then Karina Witthoft second round. I'd be surprised if either of them beat
Serena. I think maybe because Netsova will beat Venus. They're both former champions, but...
Yes, well, that's true, because Netsova won the tournament recently, didn't she?
Yeah, and because Netsova-Venus, that's the second match on Monday on Arthur Ashe Stadium. I mean, obviously, Venus will have the crowd behind her, but that doesn't bother Svetlana Kuznetsova one bit. Very pleased, incidentally, that she got a wild card into this tournament. I would like to think that was never in doubt.
Yes.
But that is absolutely 100% the right decision. We've moved on to women's, which is great, but just quickly, you know who Denis Shapovalov's got in round one?
Felix
Auger-Aliassime.
I'm glad you said his full name.
His bromance partner.
Yeah.
Who qualified for the main draw. And so he could have been drawn. So they always do a mini draw for the qualifiers.
Yes.
After qualifying is completed. And so he could have fallen in any one of eight places.
Who's winning that?
Well, Denis Shapovalov, whisper it quietly, has had a pretty terrible year. Take Madrid out of the equation. Great week in Madrid, semi-finals.
I think terrible year is over-egging it.
Tell me what else he's done.
Didn't he get to about third round of the Australian? He reached third or fourth round in Miami, I think. You know, he's done okay. He's done all right. But he's,
okay.
I would say he's been disappointing.
Yeah,
From the clay onwards, he's been disappointing.
Very disappointing.
Because
yeah.
you would have expected a much better return on the grass. You would have expected a better return so far on hard courts.
Yeah.
So,
and look, that's fine, not entirely unpredictable in the, you know, second season slump, whatever. It was an incredible rise. It's a lot to cope with. And, you know, it doesn't shake my confidence in him overall. But I think we probably do need to face up to the fact that it, yeah, hasn't quite happened yet for him.
Who are you going for? Shapovalov or Auger-Aliassime?
Maybe Auger-Aliassime? Don't know. Come through qualifying in a groove.
Yeah, I think I would probably go for Dennis.
Yeah, I know. As I said experience. That, I thought. But yeah, let's keep Mia.
Can't believe anyway, you've given up on Dennis already.
I'm not giving up
Catherine.
On Dennis.
She was all over Dennis.
He's totally going to be a Grand Slam champion. It's just not going to happen for, you know, a little while maybe.
He's not going to be another Grigor, is he?
Don't.
We love Grigor.
Yeah.
By the way.
We love Grigor, but we do think he's losing first round.
He's losing.
On like first match of the day.
Yeah. Heather Watson qualified and beat Katie Swan. That's the first time she's got match wins here.
Yeah, not great that stat, is it? But she's very aware of it. I spoke to her yesterday. She said that has become a bit of a self-fulfilling thing. She's let the fact of the gap between her expectations here after winning the junior title 10 years ago, her expectations relative to her achievements over the years, which is never having won a main draw match, she's let that get in her head and it's become a sort of self-fulfilling thing. And maybe the fact that she's, you know, self-aware enough to realise that will cause a bit of a shift. Qualifiers do tend to be dangerous. However, she's got Katerina Makarova round one. So
it's a rough draw.
It's a rough draw.
It is, but I think she benefits Watson from having had to qualify.
Absolutely, without question.
And
without question.
So well done to Heather Watson for qualifying. And actually, much needed, because really the British players didn't do very well in qualifying this time.
No.
I mean, there was some mitigating circumstances in that Swan played against Watson and Swan did well to get to final round. Naomi Brody played against Katie Bolter. Brody won that but didn't go all the way. But Gabby Taylor didn't get through. Jay Clark played against Liam Brody.
But then that was again tricky. Short, yeah.
So, you know, but overall, I'm a bit surprised that only one player got through.
Me too.
So
yeah.
A bit of a shame. Johanna Konta's got Caroline Garcia first round.
Yeah.
That's obviously a
horrible draw. She's the world number five. But I was speaking to a French journalist and he seemed more worried about it than the Brits did. He said, you know, he thought that was a rougher draw than Garcia than I thought it was for Konta. Because the French worry about the brittleness of Caroline Garcia. And maybe that's exactly what Jo Konta needs, a match first round that she's not expected to win. It's the absolute opposite of playing Alexandra Krunic here last year, yes, round one, someone that she was absolutely expected to beat. So
Konta has not been very well, has she? She pulled out last week with an illness.
With a viral illness, and there was an ever so slight hint of sort of residual sore throat when I spoke to her today, but she's going to be fine.
I'm going to go for Konta to win.
I feel so too. She's not going to win the tournament, but I do think she'll cause the upset on Tuesday. That's going to be Grandstand Court on Tuesday.
So I'll just run through the order of play very quickly to remind you. On Monday, starts at 12 local times. That's 5 p.m. UK time, with Stan Wawrinka against Grigor Dimitrov, then Svetlana Kuznetsova against Venus Williams. In the evening session at 7, it is Serena Williams against Magda Linet, followed by Rafael Nadal against David Ferrer. Over on Louis Armstrong Arena, the new stadium, it is Simona Halep against Kaya Kanepi, Andy Murray against James Duckworth. God, there's so much going on. Sloane Stephens against Evgenia Rodina, yeah. And then in the evening session, Azarenka against Kuzmova and Del Potro against Young. So there you have it. And Shapovalov against Oja Aliassim is the last match. Not before 5 p.m. local time on Grandstand Court. What a great court that'll be.
Yeah, it's so perfect, isn't it? And the not before time as well, so you sort of guarantee. I mean, I know that's not great for Brits, 10 p.m. But, you know, one way or another, if you're a committed tennis fan, you will stay up and watch that.
And first match up, as you said, Kyle Edmund against Paolo Lorenzi.
Yeah, and there's Cam Norrie on Monday as well. He takes on Jordan Thompson.
Third on court 13, same court as Edmund.
Third on court 13. So Monday, it will be Kyle Edmund against James Duckworth. No, Kyle Edmund against Paolo Lorenzi.
Yes.
First up from 4 p.m. And then Murray is the next Brit in action. He's second on, so what, approximately 6, 7 p.m. He takes on James Duckworth. And then roughly it'll be Cameron Norrie taking on Jordan Thompson at around about a similar time. Heather Watson will be taking on Ekaterina Makarova. And then I think that's it for Brits on Monday. But then there's also Vavrinka Dimitrov and Kuznetsova.
Loads going on.
Venus and
Tuesday,
Shapovalov,
quickly.
Auger Aliassime and
Wozniacki against Stosa, former champion, first up on our
Stadium.
Yeah,
I asked Wozniacki about, you know, playing a former champion round one. She didn't seem too troubled by it.
No. Then it's Djokovic against Fucsovics. Then in the evening session, it is Roger Federer against Nishioka.
Roger Federer is playing night session, you say?
Yeah, amazingly so.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
You might see that a lot.
Yeah.
Madison Keys against Pauline Parmentier. Louis Armstrong court is Petkovic Ostapenko.
Ooh.
Then Kerber against Gasparian, who's not played very much recently.
Kerber seemed really relaxed, by the way. It definitely seemed like she hadn't reverted to Kerber of last year after winning Wimbledon.
No, I could agree. I could believe that. Alexander Zverev is after that. Third on in the afternoon. Then in the evening session, it's Nick Kyrgios against Albot. And then it is Sharapova against Patty Schnieder. Yeah. Who must be about 50.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
I mean
really.
How did she come through qualifying?
It's amazing.
How did she even get into qualifying?
I don't know.
She must have had a heck of a run in the lower
yeah,
ranks.
We'll do some research on Patty. I mean, that is. I had to double check that it actually wasn't Patty. I googled to check there wasn't Patty Schnee's daughter that she had named after herself.
Yeah. And then third on grandstand on Tuesday is Joe Conta against Caroline Garcia. So that will probably be, I don't know.
That'll 10 p.m.-ish.
Yeah.
10 p.m.-ish UK time. Again, if you're a committed tennis fan.
You can handle it.
Yeah.
Catherine's going to be watching it, so you can. Yeah. Admittedly, she's 5 hours behind all of you lot in the UK, but there we are.
Yeah. It's all there.
Yeah.
It starts on Monday. David's got about 24 hours of sleep to get in before then. You've learnt a thing or two about napping, haven't you?
Once I've had a few of those lately, yeah.
So David will be firing on all cylinders come Monday, as will I, as will the coverage of Amazon Prime Video. It starts at 3:30 p.m. on Monday. I'm biased, but I really think it's going to be great. So please do tune in. And frankly, if you want to watch the US Open in the UK, you have to.
Or you can listen to me talk on the radio.
Or you can listen to David talk on the radio, which is also great. And I might have a sneaky earphone in while I'm in the studio.
Loyalty.
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah. Not just, I mean, you know, I'm a fan.
Oh, thanks very much.
And we've been the Tennis Podcast, brought to you, as you might have noticed, in association with Prime Video UK, also with The Telegraph, who are here represented by Simon Briggs, who I'm sure will be guesting on the podcast over the next 2 weeks, with thanks also to Charlie Eccleshire for filling your enormous shoes, David, with Charlie the Ferret, with our three executive producers, Triple S, Melanie Bose and TennisBalls.com, with the Manga Club, who have provided their fantastic competition prize to our hashtag Tennis Podcastaways winner. We're going to have to revive Tennis Podcastaways somehow. It was a hit, David.
Was it?
A resounding hit.
I tried to enter unsuccessfully.
He's not joking. We will be back on Monday with our first of 14 daily US Open tennis podcasts.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.